BP is back in the black.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects the United States. Just 3 months after sealing the worst offshore oil leak in U.S. history, British oil giant BP is back in profitable territory. $1.85 billion in the past 3 months, to be exact. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with that. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Well, this is quite a turnaround. Just after the Gulf spill, a lot of folks were talking bankruptcy.
It is remarkable. If you think that in the previous 3 months, the company suffered the biggest quarterly loss in UK history, $17 billion. So far, the Gulf of Mexico disaster has cost, or the bill for BP is $40 billion. That's the total sum the company has set aside to pay for capping the well, cleaning up the spill, and compensating for the damage. In spite of these enormous sums, the company is now making a profit
again. So where are these profits even, where are they coming from?
Oil. I mean,
okay.
If this company had been involved in virtually any other business and suffered this kind of financial and reputational hit, it really would be struggling. But the demand for oil is such that BP's been making very good revenues. Asfar Shakat is an oil analyst with consulting firm Mott MacDonald, and he says, apart from the disaster in the Gulf, other bits of BP have been thriving.
The refining and marketing business has done very, very well. And in fact, in the U.S., the refining operation made a profit for the first time this year.
One caveat, BP has, as we've heard, set aside $40 billion to cover the cost of the spill. But as all the lawsuits begin to bite, it is possible that figure could rise.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
From the Marketplace, we never thought this would happen file. Today, Britain and France will sign a landmark military agreement, despite the fact that for centuries they've been pretty hardcore enemies. The BBC's Rebecca Singer has that.
The French and British famously waged a 100-year war against one another, but now the enemy of government deficits has led the two countries to sign a treaty to share their military costs. The proposals include creating a rapid reaction force made up of troops from both countries under one command, as well as ideas to share aircraft carriers. Liam Fox is the UK's Defence Secretary. He says the agreement will take advantage of economies of scale.
Remember that Britain and France together are responsible for about 50% of all the defence spending within the EU countries. It makes a lot of sense for us not to spend money reinventing the wheel, but to work together where we can.
While there is already some close cooperation between Britain and France, there have also been big differences in opinion, most recently over involvement in the Iraq War. And any deal would allow each country to decide which fights it wanted to stay out of. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are higher at the moment. Everyone's keeping an eye on the U.S. midterm elections today and Federal Reserve monetary policy tomorrow. Another day with no oomph on Wall Street. The Dow rose a whole 6 points to close at 11,124. General Motors is expected to file final papers today or tomorrow for an initial public offering. That's an IPO that could raise upwards of $10 billion and allow the automaker to partially repay taxpayers for its government bailout.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
I mentioned Election Day. Will Californians vote on whether to allow people to keep small amounts of marijuana for personal use? If it passes, new business opportunities could open up, like what's already happened for medical marijuana, which is legal in the state. Marketplace's Rico Galliano, co-host of our sister show, The Dinner Party Download, spoke with a Los Angeles woman who's carved out a unique place in the medical marijuana business.
My name is Melanie, and I bake edibles for medical marijuana dispensaries, and my company is called Red Eye Bakery.
And how did you decide to start doing this?
I was working at a dispensary, and one of the guys that I worked with was doing it, but he was only like 20 years old and wanted to have a life. And so it was like, hey, Melanie, do you want to do it? He only made muffins, and I started making cookies and crispy treats and like pretty much anything. You know, I've made like little cheesecakes before and stuff like that as well.
All with marijuana in it, and this is a completely above ground business.
It definitely is. And not only here in California, there's other states, I think it's like 15 total now, that have medical marijuana. I definitely have spread the word to some of my friends in Oregon and some of my friends in Colorado that they should look into doing it because it's a good way to build your own business because not a lot of people do it.
So there's like a weed baker entrepreneurial vacuum?
And there's a need for it, especially people who make good ones. For anybody who's ever tried them, sometimes it's hard to find ones that taste good because people are, you know, not using the best quality buds or, you know, they're not making it correctly.
Well, this is going to be my next question. Do you have a background in cooking?
You know, I've just always loved to cook and being a mom, I guess. But I've been cooking since I was like 8 years old. My mom was a really bad cook and I didn't like bad food. So immediately I had to decide I was going to cook on my own.
Is she aware of what you're doing?
Yeah, my mom knows, and my whole family knows. My mom actually has multiple sclerosis and eats my brownies from time to time. And actually, for a little while, my brother and my sister-in-law were struggling, and she started coming over and baking for me. So it's also helped my brother pay his bills, too.
How many times, by the way, speaking of baking, how many times a day do people make that pun?
All the time, actually. And what's something that's funny is if I ever try and bake stuff that has no marijuana in it, everybody asks me first, is this medicated? I'm like, no, of course it's not medicated. Why would I bring medicated cupcakes to a party?
There are some parties where that would be welcome.
Yes, but you know, 4th of July with the family, I usually don't bring medicated cupcakes.
Marketplace's Rico Galliano speaking with Melanie at Red Eye Bakery in Los Angeles. Check out dinnerpartydownload.org. Finally, medical marijuana is one of those things you can't buy with your California welfare debit card. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger sent a letter to county welfare directors just yesterday saying welfare money is off limits also at bingo halls, cruise ships, and tattoo parlors. And he included psychics in his directive as well, although they should have seen this coming. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's the economy, stupid. That famous line from the presidential campaign in 1992. But you know what? The president doesn't really run the economy.
Olympia Snow might be just about as important right now as President Obama in terms of ability to create, do things like extend unemployment insurance or pass a fiscal stimulus.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Freakonomics of how much a leader really matters, and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.